be playing. I be playing.
Hello and welcome to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Adam Starrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life here at UA, and I'll be joined in just a few seconds by my infamous colleagues, Andrew Deer, Coordinator of Informal Recreation on Campus, and Mark Mayfield, Associate Director of Student Media. It is now week six in the college football season, and all is quiet here in Tuscaloosa with a road game. We've got the Crimson Tide over in College Station, Texas this evening against the Texas Agricultural and Mechanical University. I appreciate Mark writing all that out for me here. Texas A&M is what you all know them by. We'll have a lot to say about that big game later. We also have a great guest on the show in just a few minutes, a man who is fearlessly returning for a semi-annual or biannual or every other year, or he's been here before. I don't know why we didn't invite him back last year. He was busy or I don't know. But we've had enough time apart now, and so Dr. Stephen Hood is joining us, Associate Vice President of Student Life here at UA. Back on the show, he was our first guest picker on Skybox.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
A little trivia
wow.
there
wow.
for the Skybox trivia folks out there, which apparently Mark is not one of them.
but yeah, Dr. Stephen, I remember him on the show. I didn't realize he was the first guest.
He was the first guest.
All right. Why haven't we had him back?
That's a good question.
I think he hasn't wanted to come back.
I think that's
the real thing.
That's the likely thing. We'll let him in the studio here in a few minutes, and we'll see if he's got something to say for himself. but first, Andrew and Mark, it's another fine Saturday of college football in America. It's been a beautiful week here in Tuscaloosa. It's about time for a road game for us after a huge home game, huge conference home opener this past weekend.
Yep.
A heck of a game for us here in Tuscaloosa.
Wow, that was quite a game. I mean,
absolutely. None of us really
66-3.
None of us predicted that. I think we had in the 30s.
We did.
Right? 31, 38, 35, something like that.
38-10, something crazy
17,
like that.
Something like that. And I don't think anybody across the country really picked us to just annihilate them and own them from the first second of the game.
No, you got to figure Ole Miss still has a decent defense, even with all their NCAA problems and all the coach leaving and all that stuff. They still got some really good players, and they got a decent offense too. I mean, they got one of the better offenses in the SEC, but they didn't. Bama totally shut them down.
That's sadly not saying a lot this year, I guess.
I know, yeah.
And the interesting thing is we're saying this for the second week in a row, an absolute annihilation of a team that, you know, we expected to play Bama a little bit closer than they did, but here we are, you know. It just absolute. Like I said, absolute annihilation.
I think it changes the way we're looking towards the rest of the season, certainly. It changes the way we look at A&M a little bit, with LSU having some issues too. If you look at A&M and LSU and Arkansas and who's that other team that we play last this season? Auburn, I guess.
Auburn,
they're
team,
still playing football.
Yeah, they
and
are.
So it changes how you look at the SEC schedule with Ole Miss going down so handily, with LSU still having issues against the mighty men of Troy.
The mighty men of Troy, no doubt. I mean, who would have thought?
The rest of our SEC schedule looks
pride of the different. Pride of the Sun Belt.
Yeah. And in Baton Rouge, no less, they won the game. You know?
But, yeah.
Death Valley, I'm not too sure about that anymore.
The LSU situation is not getting any better.
No.
The reports of players-only meetings and, with the Florida game coming up, with everything that happened last year, it's kind of ugly in Baton Rouge right now.
I figured out their problem. None of the players can understand Coach O, so they can't take his direction. They just don't know what he's saying. They try to think it, but, you know, they just don't understand him. He needs a translator out there. You know, I hate to say that. I actually like him. I think I like characters like that in college football. I loved Les Miles.
I like him. I'm just glad he's not our coach.
Right. Right. A character does not necessarily make a good football coach.
Well, and they're going to have to be patient because they're still paying Les Miles $8 or $9 million this year, and they've got this guy on the hook for a couple of years, and so I don't think for another 24 months they really have any options to do anything different. So they've got to grin it and bear it and try to figure it out right now. But it's kind of hard to figure it out on the road in the SEC. If you're LSU, certainly.
Right. I think it's interesting. We're seeing LSU after last week and maybe even weeks prior. This LSU rebuilding job is a lot bigger than we kind of expected.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of what transpired last year with Les Miles. They caught lightning in a bottle last year, but it just – Their deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball with the quarterback and everything like that. I think it's really shown how how tough it is going to be for Coach O to rebuild this if he can even pull it off.
Well, two of the best programs in the country, you know, LSU and Florida, you know, they've had this trouble now for years with offense. I mean, what is it
that they can't do? I was just going to say the same thing, Mark. How can those two programs not recruit a decent quarterback that can stick with that program? And I know people are leaving programs faster than they used to, but out of the four quarterbacks that Florida's gone through in the last 2 years, out of three or four or five quarterbacks that LSU's gone through in the last 2 or 3 years, none of them have stuck. And even the ones that have moved on to two-year programs or transferred back into a four-year program, they're not playing either. And so it's not that they're not playing in that system. They're transferring out and ended up at Arizona State and playing.
Right.
They're not playing anywhere. They're not playing two-year ball. They're not playing four-year ball.
No.
They're not playing ball. So they're not – they're coming in as highly recruited quarterbacks, and they're not – they're just not –
they're not doing it.
They're not doing it.
They're not doing it. And then, of course, we've got the dumpster fire up in Knoxville.
Right.
I mean, we got that whole thing. And talk about a coach on a hot seat right now.
Oh, I forgot.
That seat's in flames. I mean,
the crazy thing is, you know, you can look at it. I'm never a big fan of coaching or firing a coach in the middle of the season, but I mean, what really is Tennessee waiting on? Are you waiting on to get beat by Alabama by 80?
I don't.
Because if they play they did against Georgia, that's what's going
to
happen. So
I go to one of the best fan sites in the country is VolNation.com. It really is.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's good.
Site.
It really is.
I've
good.
Been on that site this week because these fans are burning.
Mark,
up.
You're on there more than
Mark
I am.
Mark loves to troll other teams. That's
true.
You're so big on Go Vols Extra too, aren't you, Mark?
Yes, absolutely.
You pay the money just to get on there and talk crap.
It's entertainment. It's free entertainment. It's fantastic. But the comments on there this week are unbelievable. There's a whole thread about how bad they're going to lose to Bama on there. You know, 70-0, 80. And then some people said, but Coach Saban, he's going to have mercy on us. You know, he's going to – and others are saying – we're so bad, Bama fans don't even trash talk us anymore. It's like if we at Tennessee trash talk Austin Peay, you know.
Right.
And somebody said Austin Peay would beat us too. So.
Well, you noticed just a few minutes ago, I rattled off our remaining SEC schedule, and I completely forgot Tennessee.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a home
it's
game.
It's not. It's a non-factor.
I totally forgot it.
And
last time
Tennessee was in here 2 years ago, it was a very good football
tight.
Game.
It was.
And
it was.
How that has turned in 2 years with a
is that Derrick Henry at the end, right?
Yeah, it was absolutely. And
very close.
You know, Coker kept throwing those outs to Calvin Ridley as a freshman.
Right.
It was really interesting.
Yeah, Bama actually had to make that drive at the end to win
that game
or they lose that ball game, and that was really close.
That was an ugly day in the stadium.
Yeah, but this year, last year, I you know, it was a blowout in Knoxville, and then this year it's going to be it's got to be a blowout. I mean, I can't imagine Tennessee suddenly getting better than they are right now.
Right.
We'll see.
No, I can't
either. And it's just the negativity around programs like that, when that happens, it bleeds into the locker room and it bleeds into the coaching staff, as bad as that sounds and as bad as they want to say that it doesn't, it absolutely does. And so Tennessee, we're going to see how tough Tennessee is within the next couple weeks.
We are. I mean, the program maybe what they're waiting on is the Bama game, because if they do get blown out by Bama, which they probably will, you know, they may get rid of them at
they're
that point.
No,
maybe they're waiting on the
all.
Next blowout to take him out. I don't know. But also the contract, they owe him a huge buyout too. Huge buyout.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand that. Why would you give a contract extension to a coach that's not proven yet a huge buyout? Some of the colleges with these buyouts are really incredible. It's almost like financial, misdeeds or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not doing anything illegal or anything, but it's just like, it's not financially right to be giving coaches who haven't won anything big contract extensions. I mean, where did that come from? Who was going to steal Butch Jones away from Tennessee?
That was the thing. Who?
The college football coaches contract is like the strongest contract we have in modern day sports.
Yeah.
I mean, players in the NFL don't have as protected of a contract as these football coaches do.
Well, they have great agents.
They have great agents, you know. And they have guaranteed money, and they have these huge buyouts. And I don't understand why anybody pays.
Notre Dame's probably still paying Charlie Weiss.
They probably still are. Literally,
yeah,
I bet they are. Yeah.
And that doesn't even count the basketball coaches.
So it's you know, I get it. I get it. If you think you got a coach that's a hot commodity, you got to protect your investment, so to speak. But I don't think
the market was really burning for Butch Jones.
No, it wasn't. And it wasn't burning for Coach O either, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. I don't know.
Tennessee should hire Les Miles, right?
I hope not.
They should.
He matches that orange and that craziness and the whole thing.
Well, hopefully they'll keep Butch Jones.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be good for us. All right, well, let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back with our special guest today, Dr. Stephen Hood. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a pleasure to have Dr. Stephen Hood in the studio with us. Stephen is Associate Vice President of Student Life and was on the show with us in our first season 2 years ago and had the really good sense to take a hiatus from us. You know, I'm sure we asked him to come last year, but
it's not him, it's us. I guarantee.
Yeah, it's got to be us. Yep. So, but somehow we got him back, and so you know, it's one of those things where we keep asking and asking. At some point, he can't just say never. So, well, actually, he could, but luckily, he didn't do that. So. Stephen, thanks for joining us. Good to have you.
Good to be back. And, yeah, you and Adam wore me down, so I finally decided to come back. I knew George wasn't here any longer, and so that helped. You know, he's off in the great north of Minneapolis. And
right.
So I thought this might be a good time to join you guys again. Thanks for having me.
Good to be here. Let me start this off by let's go back a few weeks with Student Life and you guys started off really on a high note with Yay Alabama this year, and the solar eclipse. You had all these people out on the quad, right, with these glasses on and all that. Anyway, I thought it was every fall is busy and festive and the campus buzzing and all those things, but I thought it was more so this year because of the Yay Alabama thing, which was really cool.
Yeah, I think Yay Alabama was really great, and I can take no credit for it. Your very own Adam Sterrett really had much more to do with that, leading that, but it was really did provide a lot of energy to kick off the new year with, now we know, over 38,000 students, a new record enrollment for UA, another large freshman class, and really a good energy just starting out this school year. It's a great place to be, and lots going on here at UA.
We again had the largest sorority recruitment in the country, right?
Largest sorority recruitment. We're I'm not recalling the exact numbers off the top of my head, but we are looking to have even more students involved in Greek life than we've ever had before. Still waiting to get some of those official numbers in, but highly engaged students, high achieving academic students. I actually heard a fun fact earlier this week. I'll brag on the Alabama Club Triathlon team. Jessica Lambert qualified for the triathlon Ironman World Championships, and she'll be competing in Kona, Hawaii a week from today. And so I think there's a lot of really cool things going on campus. I
heard that announcement. Our staff meeting yesterday, she's an absolute stud. Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome achievement.
That not many people can accomplish that, and so – even though I really just barely know her, I'm super proud of her and for her, and it'll be exciting to follow her over the next week.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Well, you know, it's sort of like with I think about student – people ask me, you know, what Student Life does and all of a sudden, like, Student Life does everything. I mean, there's not a person – there's not a – this is, sounds crazy to say, but there's not a student on campus that's not involved in Student Life. And it's because people think of colleges, well, they're all in the classroom, they're all doing that, but the point is the university is now huge. It's somebody has to coordinate all this. That's up to you all in Student Life, and it's a major thing. And I also look sometimes at your events. I think I have enough evening events, but I look at what you all do and I'm like, y'all got a lot of evening events. This is not a 8 to 5 job, right?
It's certainly not. Not many days do we get out of here at 5 o'clock, but there's always something new and fun and exciting. It's certainly a good place to be, and we have great colleagues around the division who help us accomplish so many things. And as you mentioned, engaging 38,000 students, about 33,000 of those are undergrads who we work with, a little higher volume, keeps us on our toes, but so much good going on. We even had a career fair earlier this week, and lots of students, over 100 employers were here giving opportunities for students as they're looking for what's next after graduation. So that's another part of our division that maybe people don't always realize. Melinda King, leading that department, does an outstanding job.
Yeah, that's great.
Looking at the games today, I want you to basically tell us what you're excited about, which games we'll be watching. Don't give us your picks yet because that's the next segment. But what gets you fired up about today?
You know, it's hard to look at this schedule and not get fired up about LSU Florida. I know both those teams have some
hatred there after
challenges
last year.
And last year just kind of stoked that fire a little bit. That's going to be a good one. I think it'll be a good one. I'll be tuning in later this afternoon for that one. Of course, I'll be watching Alabama Texas A&M tonight, catching that one a little better start time as compared to last week, a little earlier kickoff. Yeah. I think that's a compelling game. I have a little bias there. You know, I think, surprisingly, I kind of like that Duke-Virginia game. Kind of go out of the SEC.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's an interesting ball game. Versus
it's a tough pick.
Is a tough pick, but something about those Blue Devils, I think, they're becoming a more compelling football program to watch. So I'll be watching all those, but, you know, that remote control might get a little extra work. But I've got an extra set of batteries just in case.
Now, your Chattanooga Mocs having a little trouble this year, right?
Yeah, they're not
doing too well, unfortunately.
Yeah, Chattanooga Mocs are struggling a little bit. We lost our head coach a year ago. Coach Huseman went on to greener pastures, and so we haven't quite got it dialed in, but I have a feeling today might be a little different.
Okay.
I think Coach Arth is going to get things headed in the right direction there.
All right. We got that. For Stevens' picks, we got that game in the mix, and it'll be interesting to see who
Furman
goes.
Furman is it's a good opportunity for the Mocs to get back on track against a not very good Furman team.
Yeah, well, Furman's got one of their biggest problems is that they wear purple. And I don't know how anyone could really get behind a team that wears purple.
I agree. Orange and purple, I don't know.
Even worse.
Although orange.
Your favorites wear orange and purple, right, Adam?
Most of them, right.
Well, orange and blue, some of the teams we don't particularly follow or like very well.
Really, any combination.
Orange and purple, or purple is, I don't know. It's kind of a Baton Rouge thing.
The national championship game last year, I saw some Washington fans tailgating, and they were wearing their purple and gray or purple and whatever they wear as Washington.
Purple,
and then they had Clemson patches on top of it. So these were Washington fans that were going to the Natty to cheer for Clemson just against us.
Really?
And so the combination of Washington colors and Clemson colors,
it's
a little off-putting.
Revolting. Yes, off-putting is a very nice way to put it. Yeah. It was bad.
Those were confident fans because they must have bought tickets to the national championship, which I did with the Ohio State year.
Right.
I was at the Bama-Ohio State game, and I had tickets but I sold them for – and I didn't get these through the university, so I
there
can say
go.
This.
There you go. Nice disclaimer, Mark.
No, I sold those things for double the price, I think, online. It was amazing. Two Ohio State fans.
You had a pretty fair chance of getting in that game.
That's what
Washington buys tickets to the Natty every year because he just thinks it's their year.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think those Washington fans were like, we're not sure when we're going to be back.
Right.
Be my chance to
maybe
go
we can sell the
go
tickets.
All in.
But the flights are already done, and the hotels
are already done. The face price on those tickets was like $450.
Yeah,
it was not a cheap ticket.
No.
Right.
No.
So yeah, but that's good. It's good that they went to the game, but
Washington
it's a shame
fans they're thinking
they're
going to get
for Clemson.
Washington,
because you know the way I would view it is like if the team beat us, I would like them to go on and win just to show we were, we lost at least to the champion. We didn't lose to just anybody.
I think the reasonable, logical kind of approach is that, and I think a lot of people just say no. I want to watch that team that beat us lose as many times as possible because forget them. I guess. So,
I don't know.
A Washington fan who cheers for Clemson in Tampa at an Alabama game, I think, has a lot of issues going on. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, there goes our Washington market.
Exactly. We were big up there.
We were big up there
in the Northwest.
You don't have an aunt up there, do you?
I don't. The Starrett family doesn't get over there to the West. And so, we're just going to have to try to find new people.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Stephen, you're a triathlete, too. You been in any lately? Any triathlons lately?
That's the only reason why you know these other triathletes, Stephen.
Yep.
Well, I must admit, when I saw Jessica at the pool the other day, it was her Ironman swim cap that made me.
But that also meant you went to the pool in one of our rec centers. So that's the first step in the door.
Which is incredibly crowded these days, I will say. I do compete in short distance triathlons. They're called sprints, not anything quite like Ironman. But the last one I did was in Huntsville, latter part of July. It was actually a pretty neat triathlon in that it was sponsored by University of Alabama, Auburn University, and Mississippi State's alumni associations, and the proceeds went towards each of their respective scholarship funds. So it was kind of a good cause, also a great race. I always like Huntsville. It's a really pretty area. So I've done a few this year. That was the last one. I won't be able to get any more in this fall, just between work and family schedules. It's a little hard to work it all in.
What's the toughest part? The swimming part? I mean, what's the toughest part of a triathlon?
Swimming is by far the toughest, at least for me. It's swimming in a pool is one thing when you have lifeguards and you have black lines that you can look down and see and it's clear. When you get out in that open water and it's dark and when you can touch bottom, it's that muddy, silty water is or mud is not reassuring, and just being able to see where you're going is a little unnerving at times. And unfortunately, I've learned the hard way that it is a bad idea to drink lake water.
Yes,
particularly when you are at your farthest point away from shore, that is an even worse time to drink lake water.
It's one of those lessons you just got to learn for yourself.
You do.
So those of you listening at home, don't drink lake water.
Don't drink lake water, and if you do, make sure you're pretty close to the shore, because that's just not a good feeling. But the swim, it takes training to learn that environment. Fortunately, there are some folks here in the area that I've had the opportunity to swim at Lake Tuscaloosa to get a little more comfortable in that. But it is a different type of swimming compared to the pool. So I am always looking forward to getting out of the water and getting back on dry land when I do compete.
You spend more time swim training than biking and running, right?
Spent a lot of time this past year swimming more so, and then seasonally I'll shift. I'm beginning to pick up my running a little bit more now that it's beginning to cool off a little,
right?
Relatively speaking, I guess.
The difference between 95 and 85 is huge,
I actually had some chances earlier this week to get up early in the morning and run. It was actually quite comfortable. Yeah. So I'll dial back the biking, because once it gets below about 60 degrees, it's not so fun to be on the bike. It gets a little chilly. I'll begin running a little bit more here as I go into the latter part of fall and into winter, and dial back the biking.
Before we get into picks here in a couple minutes, is there any stories in college football this year that are particularly surprising to you that have stood out?
You know, I was able to hear a little bit of your last segment. I think just the overwhelming nature of how Alabama is just annihilating its opponents has been remarkable. I don't think it really, if we had looked at this schedule a month ago, 2 months ago, I don't think anyone would have been surprised to say Alabama will beat Vanderbilt handily and maybe even handle Ole Miss with a decent margin. But I don't think anyone would have picked that Alabama would have 1,200 plus yards, probably 1,300 yards of offense the last two games, and a margin of 60 points on average, or 61, whatever that is. It's pretty amazing. I think also Florida State struggling, unfortunately losing their quarterback in that season opener, certainly has caused them to struggle a little bit. I think they missed a game or two because of hurricanes and schedules, and so that's unfortunate for them and kind of getting into their rhythm. I think we would have expected more out of the Seminoles at this point. I know at least one person here in this room is probably disappointed.
It's tough to play 60 minutes against Wake, Stephen. It's tough.
It is. It's tough.
No one ever said it was easy, did they?
Keep your mind in it the whole time. All 60.
I know. I know. All 60. No doubt about it.
That's all four quarters.
We were in Stephen and I both went to the game for a little bit this weekend, and we both agreed that the student section was about as lively as we've seen it. And the 8 o'clock kickoff helps with that, but the student section, they were in the seats early, and they were certainly loud. And Stephen and I were commenting to each other that as two people who sit over in faculty staff seats where people kind of are a little more chill and sit down, it was kind of fun to be there when the game was starting to kick off with students cheering and a huge vibe there. And I was a little late because I had to watch Florida State hang on to just beat Wake Forest in the last second.
Yeah, that was tough.
Coming over to Bryant-Denny. But it was a great environment in the stadium last Saturday night for sure, and it paid off because it was a huge win. So the students had a good time.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you and the Florida State fans feel any better, Wake Forest is a beautiful campus.
It is a beautiful campus.
And they may have been distracted by the scenery.
It's fall, and so maybe some of the leaves were turning.
Little cooler climate there.
Bright people go there, too. And so they could have gotten in some intellectual discussions maybe on the line and been a little distracted.
You never know.
A lot of things are on the table, folks.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's where I'm leaning.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We all know, and it's very true. Academics becoming a bigger part of football programs these days. They're doing pretty well. So they probably did have that discussion.
See, there we go.
Florida State kind of forgot to play football while they were doing it. Right?
Well, Florida State will have a chance to redeem themselves later this afternoon. Right.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Maybe.
Well, Dr. Hood's been kind enough to agree to stay with us into the next segment and make some fearless college football picks. So we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back with his game picks for today. You're in the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've been talking to Dr. Stephen Hood, Associate Vice President for Student Life here at UA. And Stephen, well, we've got some good football games coming up. We're hoping you make some good picks. Let's start down on the plains with Ole Miss visiting Auburn. What are your thoughts on that game and the Gus Bus?
Yeah, should be an interesting game. Ole Miss has a chance to redeem themselves. I don't think they will. I just don't think they've got enough confidence in their play right now. Auburn's got a pretty good defense, and their offense is coming around. I think Auburn will get that one done right at home.
Kind of brutal, Ole Miss having to come to Alabama and then at Auburn. Auburn's starting to figure it out. It's a pretty brutal stretch.
Yeah.
Are you feeling bad for him, Andrew?
No, it's fine. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That's good journalism, Andrew.
Right, yeah. You know, hitting all the angles.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
We're not doing our picks. I'm probably going to go the same picks as Steven on this game on Auburn, and I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to. So wouldn't it be great to see Ole Miss
upset
them? I mean,
it really would be.
You know,
staying with 11 a.m. early games, we have Georgia at Vanderbilt. Georgia really figuring it out. Starting whoop Tennessee last week. What are your thoughts on that game?
Georgia's looking really good right now. That young quarterback, they're hitting it on all cylinders. Vanderbilt's just, I know they're at home, but it's just not going to be enough. I think maybe it won't be quite as ugly as 2 weeks ago, but Georgia will get that one done. They'll handle it reasonably easily.
You think Georgia's that good or Tennessee's that bad? We had this conversation Saturday afternoon too.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. I think Georgia's pretty good, playing pretty good football right now. Tennessee is a hot mess, and Butch Jones and it is a dumpster fire there.
Trash can fire, if you will.
Trash can fire.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I don't see it ending well for Butch Jones in Tennessee this year. No. I guess the only saving grace for them is they have a bye week today. Yeah. And so maybe that gives them a little chance to get their feet back under them. But I think I'd lean a little more that Georgia's that good, but Tennessee still.
Every trash can eventually ends up in a dumpster.
That's right.
That's right.
We talked about this one off air. We have Duke at Virginia, 11:20 a.m. Kind of a tough game to pick. What are your thoughts?
You know, really love those Duke Blue Devils. Anytime Coach K's involved, even though he's the basketball coach, and I really just don't know a whole lot about Virginia football these days. I like Duke on the road. I think they're moving in the right direction. Coach Cutcliffe doing well. I take the Blue Devils.
You know, I've got an inside tip from a UVA fan today for this very game.
Oh, really?
I'll reveal it in the next segment.
All right.
Inside
spoilers
tip.
Coming up.
All right.
You got to keep them listening, Andrew.
There you go. All right, 2:30 p.m. We have West Virginia at TCU. Man, before we get into this pick, just looking at this list, there's some really exciting games today.
There are.
It's a good for week six.
A lot better than weeks 2, 3, and 4. I just got a little excited. I had to say that. West Virginia at TCU.
Yeah.
Where you at?
I agree. Good game. A lot of offense coming out of that Big 12 ball game. I like West Virginia's uniforms a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Good colors, that blue and gold. I think they're going to have just a little bit of jet lag, though.
Right.
Flying east to west. I don't know if you really get jet lag going east to west, but
it affects the comb over a lot. I know.
Is that what
the altitude is bad?
That lettuce is just.
Do they have planes in West Virginia?
Good question.
Coach Saban would get me in for that. Sorry, Coach.
I think TCU has a strong enough home crowd to give them just enough advantage to get the job done.
TCU is a real ball team too. I mean, they can play.
That's a ball
team. Joke.
Yeah,
they're no joke.
Yeah, but West Virginia is it's a good program, no doubt about it.
All right. Well, Andrew's deferring to me on this one. This is a mid-afternoon game. There's some weather up in the air this weekend, certainly, with another storm coming. But Miami and Florida State are going to play football today, is what we're told. Miami at Florida State. This is the game that was supposed to be a few weeks ago. Steven, let's talk about this one.
That's a tough one.
Miami's not beaten Florida State in a number of years. Florida State's had their number for a while, longest stretch in my lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah. I personally fear it's coming to an end Saturday.
You think so?
I do.
Well, Miami.
Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Coach Rick's getting that thing turned around.
He's a very nice guy.
He is a very nice guy.
He's getting things turned around
down in Miami. Florida State, they've had kind of a rough start. I think I'm going to go the opposite way. I think Florida State's going to get the ship turned around just enough to pull out the W at home.
That's why we have this show, Fred. That's a fearless pick.
That might be fearless right there. Yeah,
I think Florida State's going to get it done.
Okay.
All right. Okay. LSU at Florida. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but, this is These teams are struggling a little bit.
I'm trying to say something nice.
This is a football game happening today.
This is a game.
It's on the list.
It's 11 on 11 today.
It's in the swamp. It's a football game.
Does Florida have 11 to play on one side of the ball? Or?
They might not. Not they on the offensive side.
They are down quite a few players there in Gainesville.
Yeah. Who you got?
Gosh, this is a tough one to call here. There's a lot of issues there. I think it really boils down to the meeting earlier this week with Joe Oliva and Coach O and the offense and defensive coordinator. Did they get things straightened out enough? And I think the thing's just hot enough at LSU to get them to turn it around this week against Florida. I don't know if it's going
to
stick.
Back-to-back, Steven.
I think LSU's going to get it done. It's going to be a tight one.
Right. He's got it. He's going to LSU.
That's huge.
I think that's fearless.
I agree.
You got to remember Florida's got a back to their – I don't know if there's their original starting quarterback.
Right.
I'm not sure how to rate their quarterback situation, but that's part of the factor.
The other quarterback that's not the other one.
The other guy.
They're all the other.
That's not the guy from Notre Dame.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Who's got his own issues. Arkansas at South Carolina. So we got Arkansas coming to town for homecoming in just a week. South Carolina is also plays football. They both use a similar shade of red, I think.
That's about all I got on too. I don't know. It's a flip of the coin. I'll go with the home team, take the Gamecocks.
Okay.
There we go.
Michigan State, Michigan, a game that many years is a huge one early in the Big Ten. Michigan State's been – Sparty's been kind of down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I go with Michigan. Yeah. They're doing better, more so than the Michigan State.
I think this is the hardest one – on the list, personally, Washington State with the Pirate at Oregon.
Yeah.
This is not even a great game.
It's not even at midnight.
This is 7 o'clock. I mean, I may see the second half, maybe the fourth quarter.
Let's be easy, Adam.
Got a little hyper, Andrew.
Easy.
Sorry. You're right.
The Pirate in prime time.
That's something.
I mean, come on.
Well, I'm sure you heard Mike Leach's response to a reporter earlier this week and asked how difficult it was to play at Oregon, and he quickly rattled off 9 or 10 other schools.
He did.
You know, I'd actually kind of like to see Mike Leach in the SEC. He might have a couple opportunities. I think some of our big media loss in the SEC with coaches was when Spurrier retired and Miles Davis.
Right.
So maybe we can get Leach. I'll take Washington State on
the road.
Yep. There we go. All right.
We've got Wisconsin at Nebraska. What are your thoughts on this one? Do you really care about this one?
This is
red
and white.
I know both these teams wear red. Thank you.
And Husker.
Yeah, I'll go with the home team here because I really couldn't tell you a thing about either team other than they wear red.
Should be tough.
Well, Nebraska stinks. So
yeah, they've been bad.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but they're home.
They're home.
Wisconsin has not looked very good
either. They didn't look that great, no. Stanford at Utah, big game too.
Actually, I didn't even know they played football in Utah. I know they're pretty good in winter sports and snow skiing and those kind of things. So I'm going to take Stanford on the road.
All right.
It's always a safe bet taking Stanford.
All right, and then our game, Bama at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's going to be a close game early. I look for Alabama and Texas A&M to be a little bit back and forth, relatively speaking, compared to our last couple of weeks. I anticipate a little separation in the second half. I think Alabama will probably win this game by about 3 scores.
Okay, 3 scores.
3 scores, all right.
We've got a little bonus pick for you. We've got a Chattanooga Mox versus Furman. The Paladins?
Furman Paladins.
What is a Paladin?
I don't know.
Paladins. I think it's
they're purple.
I think it's some kind of knight or something.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Sounds really like a
bird.
Paladins v. Mox, game of the week.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who you got?
In Chattanooga, at home for the Mox. I hinted earlier, I can't pick a team wearing purple. I don't know if any of the other teams I picked were purple, but actually, I guess I did. I picked LSU.
Yeah.
But they're pretty much all purple in Furman, and the Mox are going to get it done. Coach Arth, the new guy, he's going to get the offense going. And
fresh blood.
Yeah.
The Mox will score more points than the Paladins, and they'll be celebrating in Chattanooga later tonight.
And the fashion cops will arrive and take the purple away.
Yeah.
So
hope. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
And that was talking FCS football.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
That's awesome. All right. Great. Thanks, Steven. Great picks. Really excited to have you on. We'll soon see how you do on these picks, and I hope you'll join us again soon. Let's take another break. Adam, Mark, and myself will be back with our own fearless picks, maybe not as fearless as Steven, but we'll see here in the next segment. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Thanks, Steve.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
are back in the Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, we know who Steven's picking. Thanks again to Dr. Hood, a great guest every time he's on. But let's see what the three of us kind of pulled together for the day. We ready, folks? Steven had a couple fearless picks. It'll be interesting to see whether.
I'm going
to
be honest. Yeah. I don't think I'm ready to be that fearless. But let's do it.
Well, that's great, though. I mean, he livened up the show with that. I mean, he gave us something to think about.
I know.
This is lightning in a bottle, wasn't it?
It is. Yeah. I tell you, you bring Dr. Hood in, then get ready.
Yeah.
The rest of us, all right, let's kick off here in just a little bit. Georgia at Vandy. I don't
Bulldogs.
Think this is a game.
Period.
All Georgia, right?
Yeah, easy.
Georgia. You know, it. We'll see. I mean, I'd like to see Vandy make a little stand here. They got a good defense, but Georgia's going to win this game.
Yeah, I don't think home or road matters here. You know, I kind of have a I've got a degree from the University of Georgia. I just don't bring it up very often.
I did not. Master's
I do.
Degree?
That's where my doc is from.
That's right.
Oh, fun fact. So
you've
got a little Bulldog in you.
Higher ed, I do, just a little bit.
Well,
I walked across their stage.
Kirby's their coach. I'm kind of pulling for him, you know. I mean –
If you're going to be in the East, then you might as well be Georgia, not one of those other junk teams.
Might as well be.
That's true.
Speaking of junk teams, we've got Ole Miss at Auburn. Also this morning, I tend to agree with Steven. I don't think Ole Miss has enough. I'm going Gus Bus on this one.
Yeah, I think Auburn's actually figuring it out, and they're a heck of a lot better than Ole Miss. So
yeah, I think Auburn wins that one easy.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, we got the Demon Deacons here, which if anybody watched them last weekend, the Demon Deacons just were playing like they were the New England Patriots last week. It took everything for Florida State to
– It had nothing to do with how Florida State was playing.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
I didn't – Yeah. I can't – my cans aren't working, Mark. I just hear you, not
right,
Andrew.
Right.
So Wake Forest is traveling to Clemson. Any chance here for Wake?
No shot.
No.
It's weird because.
Oh, Clemson, Mark! Come on, Mark!
No. I'm not pulling the trigger on this one. But I'm going to say it's going to be closer than people think because Wake has got a pretty good offense. And also, Clemson's struggled in the first half of a lot of games.
They come on
at the end. And like last week, that game was like nearly tied heading into the third quarter or something. It was. So I think if they continue their pattern, Wake will hang in there for a while. It won't be close at the end, though. Clemson will pull away and beat them pretty bad.
Yeah.
I went on a limb with Virginia Tech last week, and so they flirted with me during that first half before Clemson turned it on.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Penn State at Northwestern. I got to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of Penn State ball this year yet. I've just seen highlights, but there's been plenty of highlights. I don't think Northwestern's got anything for them.
Nah, I totally agree.
I agree.
Saquon Barkley is an absolute stud.
Absolutely.
Heisman front runner, legit.
Yep.
So I'll give you one last early morning game here. Duke at UVA. Andrew, Mark, before I share my tip, I'm asking for yours. This is my tip.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't know if I can make this pick without the intel.
Well, let me tell you.
I can.
Yeah,
I'll make it.
I don't.
I'm
okay,
full confidence in David Cutcliffe and the Duke Blue Devils. Unless you're about to tell me their quarterback's out. I don't feel good about the pick, but I actually really like Coach Cutcliffe. They play a pretty boring style of football, but they're good. They win ball games.
So my buddy, who I actually graduated from UGA with, Dr. Stuart Evans, UVA grad, works there, and I texted him last night because I was working on this, and I said, my question for you is whether your Cavs can beat Duke this weekend. And he says, my gut says always bet against UVA. Dr. Evans sold his own Cavaliers down the river immediately.
He actually may change my pick because I was picking the Cavaliers at home.
So I genuinely went back and forth.
And I don't know. You know what?
The Cavs are better this year than they normally are.
I'm going to stay with the Cavs. I'm saying they're going to win this game.
That type of attitude comes from years and years of heartbreak and sadness.
So
right?
This was also two Washington Redskins fans texting each other about how bad they were on Monday Night Football this year, and this week. So that's how I transferred to UVA. So yes, a heart crushing team to follow.
I'm going fearlessly with the Cavs.
So I think that's an interesting pick. I'm going Duke. I think it's a flip of the coin because UVA has played a little bit better this year, and at home, you kind of want to give the Jefferson boys a chance. But
starting at 2:30 p.m., we have Miami at FSU, the Fighting Adam Starrett's versus the Nice Guys. Adam, give me your thoughts. Who's going to win this game?
So I've got some of my closest friends in the world coming in town from Tallahassee this weekend. They're in visiting, and we're going to watch the game together this afternoon, and we're going to go do something else after the game. But I actually am picking Miami. I don't think Florida State's going to be able to pull it off, and I think they after 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row, I just think Florida State doesn't have enough, and there's too many articles about fire defensive coordinator, fire this, get rid of this. Jimbo's got a problem. which I don't agree with. I think there are some problems that are not as bad as they say, but I think Florida State can't pull it together this week. Miami's
too good. I think Nice Guys finished first in this one. Yeah. Although, you know, Jimbo's a nice guy too, but he's a nice guy winner.
Right.
But I do think Mark Richt gets the best of him in this one. Because Miami's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
And that I think they beat Duke last week 30-6 or something. And
they
Duke is a
good
football
good.
Team, and particularly on offense. And Miami shut them down. And I think Miami's going to. I think Rick's finally got it rolling pretty well. So I'm going with the Hurricanes on this one. It wouldn't surprise me if Florida State, you know, now that the quarterback's getting a little experience, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if Florida State wins the game. But I got to go with Miami.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Miami's got too much. Florida State. The problems are creeping in on them, and this Miami team is, not bad.
Yep.
So
I think Mark Richt throws over the middle to a tight end 10 times, and I throw something at my TV because we don't defend it a single time. I've been watching tight ends from Miami go over the middle against Florida State for 15
Greg
years.
Greg Olsen, Kellen Winslow.
All of them, all the time. They all played for Shockey. 7 years, too. Absolutely.
They have tight end
all
U.
All of them.
Now that we think about it,
tight
right?
Tight end U. There we go.
All right, moving on. Another one. Oh, excuse me. Before we go to the SEC matchup, we have 2:30 West Virginia at TCU, the Horned Frogs hosting the Mountaineers. Country Roads, Mark, what are your thoughts?
Take me home. Country Roads. No, I'm
not. I was going to say, that's an awful idea.
Yeah, I think
it's
Frogs
almost
got
heaven.
Frogs, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost heaven, but TCU actually is heaven. I'm going with TCU, actually.
Yep.
All frogs.
I'm a big Gary Patterson fan. Met him once, really nice guy. So I'm going with the Horned Frogs.
He seems nice.
I would, by the way, I want y'all to know, the integrity of the show, I would pick against him if I felt like their team was going to lose. But
he's
not. No. I'm going with the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, there we go.
The game that I wanted to allude to last pick was LSU at Florida, another one of Adam's favorites, the Lizards here. Adam, just give me your initial thoughts and your pick.
So here's what I'm doing. The single greatest thing to ever come out of Gainesville, Florida, Tom Petty. Passed away.
I did not know that.
So
wow.
He's from Gainesville.
That's incredible.
Yes, yes.
And so
you didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's the reason why I still even will say the word Gainesville. And and so I'm going Florida. I'm going Florida solely because of Tom Petty.
In his honor. Fabulous.
In his honor.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
it is. I would go with Florida even if Tom Petty hadn't died on this one. But it is great to dedicate it to Tom Petty. And what a great musician.
I'm floored, guys. I had no idea.
Yeah. One of my
huge
favorites.
Loss.
Ever.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Florida's going to whoop them. I really do.
Yeah.
Dr. Hood mentioned that it would be, that it would be close, but I think Florida's going to whoop them for sure.
Yeah, I do too.
Still, 2:30 games. We have the Boat Rowers versus the Boilermakers.
Yeah.
Minnesota at Purdue. Mark, what are your initial thoughts?
This is kind of a tough pick on the board.
Now,
no offense to our good buddy George Brown, but I don't really care who wins this game that much. I know George does, and I do love the University of Minnesota, by the way, George.
Yeah.
I do. I love it. It's such a great school and such a great state. The whole Minneapolis, St. Paul's fabulous.
They got
town.
A good thing going
I
on.
I love what they got. In terms of football, I don't – you know, they're not a powerhouse, obviously, although they're still tough in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Purdue on this one. Purdue's – they're at home, and I'm doing it because they're home, but Purdue is a better team this year than they have been. That doesn't mean they're a really good team. But I think they win this one. And Minnesota struggled against, was it Maryland? Mm-hmm. So
I can't tell if George is trying to dupe us or not. So the intel coming from up north from George makes me think Purdue's going to win. And I'm going to go with Purdue, but I can't tell if George is trying to trick us into thinking that Minnesota is not going to pull it off.
Yeah, so he can win the pick.
Yeah,
because
he's sending
pretty
us,
good at this stuff.
They could
so.
Be fake injury reports that he's sending us, any number of things.
It
so
may be.
He's telling us about defensive backs that are injured for the Gophers and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, George, buddy, I don't know. The backup D-back for Minnesota, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know.
Yeah.
Minnesota might win this game by 30 points.
Exactly.
You know,
so
but
he's playing chess, not checkers.
Well,
that's what he's doing.
Whatever it is,
he's
duping
us, but it's working. Yep.
We're choosing
so
Purdue.
So I'm going Purdue, too.
I was hoping you guys wouldn't go Purdue, but that's what I'm going to do. One reason, Jeff Brohm, the dude's offense is unreal.
Yeah.
And
he's
I'm hoping he's
there.
Tennessee's next coach, going on record. He won't
there
be.
We
but
go.
There you go.
There we go.
No,
go ahead.
We got another good one, Air Force at Navy. We got the military bowl here going on. Air Force at Navy, 2:30. What do you got?
I'm going all water in this one. I think Navy wins.
Yeah, right. midshipmen.
Yeah.
I do love Colorado Springs. Been out to their facilities a few times. It's a beautiful place, but that doesn't win you football games.
So. No. And actually, this one is at Navy, so this was in Indianapolis. I guess. So there we go.
Especially doesn't win you a game if that's not where it is.
Right. Well, was the
city across the country didn't win you a game, though.
Right. That was my point, guys.
Dropping some knowledge.
Right. You can't take that home field advantage with
we'll
you on
that.
The road. But there we go. Unless you're Bama at Nashville, which they actually found a way to do that.
Right.
Arkansas at South Carolina at 3 p.m. I was going to say I won't be watching this one, but I probably actually will tune it in for a little while.
Don't lie to us, Mark. You're going to be watching.
I've got a hard time taking the Gamecocks in any game. I know that a lot of people here at the paper took the Gamecocks, and I know Dr. Hood took the Gamecocks too, right? So I'm thinking Arkansas on the road. I don't think being at home helps South Carolina.
I'm with you. I'm taking Arkansas.
I actually do think I'm going to take South Carolina at home. Willie B. Stadium. I don't feel good about the pick, but, you know.
I don't know how much champ it still has.
Yeah, going to have to go with the Gamecocks for sure.
All right. In Birmingham, La Tech at UAB. This is a tough pick, too. Who you got?
I'm going with La Tech. Watch them come back and beat my Hilltoppers earlier this season. They continually have a really strong program. UAB will have it figured out, but. You know.
Are they the Raging Cajuns?
No, they are the Bulldogs.
That's Lafayette. Bulldogs, you're right. So, yeah, I'm going La Tech as well.
Yeah, me too.
They're just better.
Yep, I'm doing it. Colorado State at Utah State, a couple of state games.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I think this is a little tough. I almost went Aggies in it. Utah State will win a game like this every once in a while and shock somebody. They'll beat Utah and one other decent team. But I think Mike Bobo at Colorado State's doing a good job, and I think they'll go on the road and beat Utah State.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm going Colorado State, I think. But, you know, Utah State can't – this is absolutely what you said. They can stand up and win a game like this.
I'm also picking the Rams.
All right. There we go. Back to the Big Ten. We got ACC and Big Ten, right? We got Maryland at Ohio State.
They're in the Big Ten now, Maryland.
Oh, they are in the Big Ten. That's right, of course.
Them and Rutgers.
Of course they are.
Big Ten.
What am I thinking?
Two powerhouse
classic
football programs.
Big Ten programs.
Rutgers really
TV
on the up
markets.
And up.
Yeah.
Listen, you want New York or D.C., you got to do something, buddy.
That's true.
They
no
like
doubt.
Them some TV in those markets.
I know.
I'm going Ohio State big. Maryland's had a pretty good year. They're playing decent football, but I think Ohio State wins big.
Yeah, Ohio State. Talented, deep. No doubt.
Yeah, me too. They'll blow this game out.
So we'll skip our game here for a minute. Let's go Sparty at Khaki. I think it's all Khaki, right?
All Khaki.
I mean, I just
no
don't
doubt.
Think there's
did
any
you
question.
Guys catch his cannonball jump?
It was
dive?
A can opener. I hate it's. I hate
oh,
to.
Can
I hate
opener.
To,
okay.
I hate to be that guy. I was
there
almost that guy on Twitter, but it was a can opener.
Can
Let's
opener.
Just say what it was.
In his khakis,
right?
Of course.
It was very good.
Yeah, I don't know the guys.
Was it
anyway.
In a tub of milk or was it water?
It was water.
It's the only
it
way.
It's not
make it
vitamin
better.
D whole milk.
It's the only way to make it better.
Yeah, and he's still wearing the same khakis.
Yeah, he hadn't taken them off.
He didn't take them. He sleeps in them. Come on.
That's what.
Anyway, yeah. He's gonna win this game.
I think this is a tough one. Washington State at Oregon.
Yeah, this is tough. I think I'm taking the Cougars in this one. I think I think they're a better football team.
The Pirate in prime time.
The Pirate in prime time. I like them, even though they are coming off a good win last week.
Mark,
I want to take the Pirate, but I think Oregon's got it going again, and I think they're going to just simply outscore them at home.
Okay.
And I'm going with Oregon and the Ducks over the Pirates.
So
I hope I'm wrong. It'd be great for college football if the Pirate could manage to win the Pac-12 and get to the playoff. Yeah.
So I'm going Pirate too, but normally by the time I get on the Pirate bandwagon, they start to tank. So last week I picked against them. This week I'll pick for them and they'll lose. But I'm going Pirate. Wisconsin and Nebraska, I don't care, but Wisconsin wins on the road, I think.
Wisconsin.
Okay. Wisconsin.
And then I'm all tree at Utah. I don't know about you guys, but Stanford at Utah, this late night game, I think Stanford continues to win games as the rest of the Pac-12 crumbles a bit. And I'm going all tree.
I'm
going
to have to take Utah at home. The Fighting Utes.
There
so,
we go.
All right.
Had to get a little fearless this week.
Yeah.
The Utes. You know, my cousin Benny, the Utes. What did you say?
The Utes. Two Utes in question.
The two Utes. I'm going with the tree, though. I'm going with Stanford. I think they're I think they got overall a better team.
Well, great.
So we'll see.
Well, that'll do it for all the games around the country outside of the big one over in College Station. There's one big one left. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back with our thoughts on Bama versus Texas A&M. You are listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, guys, Alabama and Texas A&M kick it off just after 6 p.m. This evening on ESPN. What do you guys think?
Should be fun.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things from this past week, Coach Saban's press conference, he did mention that Texas A&M is their toughest test so far, which is interesting after, you know, what everything's happened with Florida State and all that. So I believe them, obviously. But yeah, it should be fun. Texas A&M a lot better than the last two opponents that Alabama has seen. Mon kids really getting that the running and the passing going. John Chavis is still Texas A&M's defensive coordinator, so you know they're going to be solid. Should be a fun game, but I think Alabama takes care of business, but a lot tougher test than the past 2 weeks have shown.
You know, the last few years, we always kind of look towards this game, especially in the post-Manziel era of looking at, you know, this is going to be a good game. And the last couple times, certainly, that they've come this way, by the time that this game has come up on the schedule, they've gone through a skid and lost 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row. They've started out 3-0 and then went 0-3, and so they haven't done that this year. They've been a little bit of a different team. Not that they're 6-0, certainly, or 5-0, but they haven't had just a total tank job. I think they're certainly what Coach Saban says. They're the best team we've had so far.
Yeah.
I mean, since the last one we had, I guess. But I think it could be close in the first quarter or first half, much like Steven talked about earlier, and I think that you're right. They're going to have a strong defense, and we're going to have a harder time scoring points, and we may have a harder time running the ball than we have the last few weeks. But I can't imagine that we don't pull away in the third, and while we don't do what we've done the last couple weeks, certainly, I think that there's probably a 4 touchdowns. We can get 28, 31 points, I think, on this team. But I think they're going to score a couple times too. But I don't see us blowing them out. But I don't see us going down the last second either in a barn burn like you referenced earlier.
Yeah, it's interesting because this game could turn out to be tougher than a lot of fans mm-hmm. think, because A&M has, you know, since UCLA game, they've really kind of righted the ship a little bit. And you're right, it because they did lose that first game, it didn't go their normal scenario of going 5-0 and then getting blown out by Bama. So that in a weird way helps them somehow. Like, you know, they're already down to earth now. They know they got to play like crazy to stay in this game. They do have a pretty good football team. They can score. Sumlin's been on the hot seat, but his seat's not that hot right now compared to Butch Jones and those people. I mean, he's okay right now. He seems to have stabilized us a little bit.
I think people wrote off Texas A&M a little too early this year.
Yeah.
I have personally. We probably talked about him. We probably haven't talked very good about him the past couple weeks. But even after that UCLA loss, I think they've kind of been written off. And then they've slowly played pretty decent football ever since then. So it should be, obviously, this is a big test for them against Alabama this week. But it'll be interesting to see. This will be a really good measuring stick for how the rest of their season's going to go.
And it's definitely the best team Bama's played since Florida State.
No doubt.
Florida State had Francois then and were playing full speed. Still believe Florida State is going to come back and have a decent year. But going to College Station, that stadium's loud. You know, they're at home. They're going to sling the ball around on Bama. You know, it's a good atmosphere.
The 12th man is they're in there pretty deep, over 100,000. Not that Alabama hadn't seen that before or been in that situation before, but it always is a little unique twist, a little different from 2 weeks ago at Vanderbilt. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think if we do beat him, then where's Kevin Sumlin going as well? And so he was off the hot seat for a couple weeks here, and if it's particularly bad, if it's a 42-7 game, 42-10 or something like that, and I don't think it will be that big of a margin, but if they get another bad loss, do we start throwing him in the pile with Butch Jones and some of these other coaches again as far as getting a hotter seat?
Yeah. Well, I think I actually think, you know, I do wonder about this game because this is – Bama's been blowing out these other people, or Vandy and Ole Miss – And yeah, that's A&M's 4-1, I think, and we know they should have actually beaten UCLA. There's no way they should have lost that 31 point lead or whatever.
Yeah, ridiculous.
If they play up to that, if they put two halves together like that, they're a really good football team. I do think though that Bama is on another level right now, and also Bama's a great away team. I mean, they are good. They've been that way now for several years, where they play well on the road. I don't know. Although lately they played good at home too, but they, I don't know if it's fewer distractions for them and they focus better, but I actually kind of think that they are going to blow them out in the end. Nothing like Vandy and Ole Miss, but I do think it could be like 42-17. Because Alabama's offense is just that good. Right. I mean, you know, it would not surprise me if it's a closer game at all, but I'm kind of going to go 42-17 just because of Bama's offense, and A&M is going to score. I do believe they'll score.
I think I would be more shocked if it were a really, really, really close game and it came down to the end than I would be if Alabama just blew them out. So
you said 42-17?
42-17, yeah.
So I think we're like 42-17. I think we're like 31-14. And I don't think it ever feels that close, maybe. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think maybe in the first half it's a 17-7 or something like that, where it's close, and then in the fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, we pull away.
I could see
a 35-17, 42, you know, kind of what similar to what you said, Adam. I think that's pretty realistic. But more intense, more closer in the first half, definitely than the second half, no doubt.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Coach Stallings had a heart attack, I think, this week, and you know, he's the tie that kind of binds Bama to Texas A&M, and of course, Coach Bryant coached at A&M too.
Junction
so
boys. That,
there's always this great connection between Alabama and Texas A&M, and I've always liked their program because of that. I mean, I don't have any hate for this team. I mean, that makes it better to watch in some ways. Like, I respect them, and I do want them to have a decent year. I do think, Adam, you made a good point too, that he could be back on the hot seat, though, if they just get completely blown out in this game.
I think if they get the score that you mentioned, I do think he's back on the hot seat. I don't think you can do that on TV and with that fan base right now.
Yeah, he may be. Well, hey, look, that's going to do it for another week of Skybox. It's good luck to everybody out there traveling, whether it's to College Station or to other college football venues today. And thanks to Dr. Stephen Hood for joining us today, and also to Terry Siggers, who the GM of this station, who mixes the show for us. And hey, we'll be back right here on the radio at 10 a.m. next Saturday. So until then, guys, roll tide.
Roll tide.